later. So, as you said, my father looks, and he thinks he wants to, you know, end this conversation and do it gently and do it in a jolly tone. And he says, "All right, Piraj, all right. Look, Piraj, I made a promise. And I have a child. In the meantime, that child passes by. All right, if I marry, I marry that girl, or I marry no one." And he knew absolutely with certainty in his mind that it's impossible. He's about 25, 30. That five-year-old child, of course it won't be. So that will put an end to this. So she takes it up. She immediately goes to the child's mother, who she knows. Falls at her feet and says, "Piroja, my life is in your hands. Save me. You know, my happiness is for you either to break or to make." Very inelegant. Of course, I don't want to see anything. What is it that I can do? So she said, "My brother has come up for so many years, and he will only marry your daughter, no one at all. She hasn't even seen him. Yeah. My mother's mother hasn't even seen her prospective son-in-law, but to see her friend, her close friend, in such distress, she did a pause. I mean, she said, yes, of course." Now, in those days, a word was a thing, a promise, a word was something you could not break.
And how old was the daughter?
Five. There was about 25 years difference. My grandfather, when he came to know of it, was so mad with his wife. Said, "Our little flower, you promised him this big, husky fellow, nearly 30 years old. Are you out of your mind, Golanu?" She said, "I haven't even seen him. I don't know, but I cannot go back home."
Did you ever meet him?
You cannot do them unless Piroja came and said, "All right, I release you from your word." You couldn't. You would give your life. And in the same way, my father was caught. He had given his word. He was hoping it wouldn't be. The ridiculousness of it.
Well, did Piroja ever meet Baba?
I don't know. So anyway, that was settled. So they were engaged for many years. But it was very funny. She was so little, and my father had given... There was an engagement. At least that was done. So there was a silver ring. Very pretty silver ring. A cushion ring. And my mother was still young enough. She had a little friend. She looked at my father and said, Hear me this. And one day when he was calling for something she did, then being spirited, she said to her mother, "Who's he anyway? He wasn't here before. Where does he come from? Get him out of my house. You know, he the one in here." She couldn't understand. But then, when she was nearly 15, over 14, then she married.
But your father went out and he was still... He didn't stay there.
Yeah. Once this was, you know, the choice, then he remembered the voice, that he tried to escape it, but he couldn't. It was... The passion was set for him.
So he stayed in his head?
He stayed and he lived. But as I said, at heart, he was a dervish, always jealous.
Made his house again. So he drove to make his house, dropped him. Vishnu was in Pune at the time. So Baba had arranged with Vishnu to pick him up. So we collected Vishnu from his house.
Uh-huh.
And we got Vishnu in the car, put Medhi outside, and got inside. And we sat, you see, and it was still most, a lot of time, you see. And it's just 2 hours run from Pune to Satara.
Yeah.
A lot of time. So Baba said, "Let's go slow." So I said, "Yes, we'll go." It was just very slowly, casually, we were moving about, you see, driving. And Baba first sat at the back seat, rear seat. Mm. And then he says, "Well, this is not comfortable." And so he came and sat in the front seat.
Mm.
And that's all. And then we came to a place where we had played cricket once. So Baba tells, and we also recognized the spot, you see. It was a nice field there. And then Baba started recalling all the day, you see, that we played cricket with him and how he captained both the teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the score of both the teams was just the same. Nobody was victor. And no victory there and no losses there when he captained the team.
Mm-hmm.
And we remember that, you see. And we had a hearty laugh and we were driving and everything. All of a sudden, we don't know what happened.
Mm.
It was just a blackout.
Mm.
Finished.
Mm.
A few miles, I think.
Ten miles.
From Satara.
Ten miles.
Yeah, from Satara. But you know, but only few miles from that place. It's two miles from the cricket field where we had played. What had happened, we don't know. So it so happened that there was a blackout for some time. For me, at least. Now you are asking me to narrate, so I'm giving you that, the picture of it. So when I got back to my senses, I don't know what happened. So what I found myself was that I was on the ground with my hand still holding the steering wheel. The front door had opened out. And I was reclining like this. I, with great pressure, what do you call it, stress, you see, and difficulty, I, with the help of the steering wheel, I got up. As soon as I got up, I asked Baba, what has happened? So Baba turned his face to me and he pointed his tongue at his tongue, which was bleeding. I said, what happened? Is it an accident? Means it's paining. I didn't realize what had happened, you see. Still I didn't realize whether that was an accident or not. I was unconscious, it means so. That means that. So I got up and I just looked. There are the people at the back. Only Vishnu was sitting there and he was holding the seat in the front. So where are Pendu and where is Neelu? I see both the doors were open. You see. On one side was Neelu there thrown out. Here was Pendu thrown out. And Baba was seated there. And I asked him, Vishnu, you see, so what has happened? So he says, you don't realize, you see, the radiance on Baba's face. I said, what has happened? I thought that he had turned crazy. Something has happened in the car. And he was all praise for Baba. And he started realizing Baba's radiance and all that. What I saw, Baba, you see, that as if a great warrior had returned from his battlefield victorious. I said, what has happened to the car? He said, I don't know what happened. I said, are you hurt? He said, no, I'm not hurt. What happened? How is it that the car is here? So what I found the car later on, you see, when I inspected the car. This is the main road, going from Una to Satara. So, on two sides, you see, have you got matchboxes here? Or a cigarette? No, not there.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yes, main road here. And on the sometimes you get these culverts, and with the culverts, there are little parapets built, you know. What do you call culverts?
Yes, culvert. Yeah.
The way goes under the ground.
Yeah, water goes. But they were not too deep. They were hardly 9 to 12 inches. At the most, 12 inches at depth, you see. So the car was moving like this, you see, going to Satara. I don't know what had happened, you see. So it so happened. It was like this. So this car had... Instead of this, this is how it goes on. In India, it keeps to the left.
Right.
It goes like this. Instead of going like this, it must have gone like this, you see. It must have hit here and taken a turn, and the car was facing again.
Stealing a lot, busted.
Yeah.
Huh? Stealing a lot underneath, busted.
I don't know what happened. I don't know.
It hit the car
with it. It seems so.
Yeah.
I feel that's what I say. Mm-hmm. Why should the car take a turn
around
like this, you see?
Because
when I saw it, I don't know. No, the car was all right there. So, it was like that. Like this. The position was like this. So, this is how it was. And very gradually dawned upon me that Baba is hurt. I thought that these two people were unconscious there, that there is an accident. What should we do? What should I do now? So I immediately ran to the main road here. From here I came to the main road. It was not far off.
The car was on its wheels though, right?
Yes, it was on its wheels, but at this position. It had turned itself again, you see. The engine was here. So instead of it being here, you see, it should go this way. It should turn like this. So I came to the main road, and there was one car passing by. going to Satara. Mm. It was all full. So I waved and stopped the car. He said, "Hello, Mahir Baba." I said, "Yes, we have met with an accident. Will you please help us?" He says, "Yes, yes. Please take Baba to his house here." He says, "Sure, sure." So all the front passengers got down. And they all crammed themselves at the back. And I told Vishnu to be with Baba. Because Vishnu was the one who was not hurt. Mm. I was also feeling not hurt. Mm. So, not knowing what was happening inside me. See, my ribs were all broken at the time. But because of the situation there or the circumstances, I didn't feel any hurt or anything.
So, you were walking, standing.
Yeah, I stood up later on when I regained consciousness.
So then, this is where Pendu and...
Pendu are still lying there. They're still lying. Mm. So, I got Baba from his front seat, you see, and made him walk. All that, with that busted hip joint, he walked. I didn't know what had happened. He also didn't say, he just... took the help of my shoulder and he stepped it down there in the culvert there and then got up the culvert and came and sat in the car on the front seat.
Did the people know Baba?
Yes, they knew Baba. They made room for Baba. And then Vishnu also sat by his side, camped there with that busted hip joint. So they went. And they went there and reached home there. Then, of course, Mani and all were horrified that Mani went on cycle to call Dr. Duncan there, and they must have seen to that. I don't know. But here, now Baba, while going, tells me that don't go back to Pune. You all come to Satara. While going, he gave us this instruction. So then.
Is that where you sent him?
Sent him to Satara, to his home, where we were, our headquarters was Satara at the time. So then here, I again came on. I was on the road now, wanting some other aid to take us all. How can we take the car? So it so happened that the truck was passing by from Satara to Pune. So I stopped the truck. It was an empty truck. So I said, he knew me. He said, "What's the matter? Is it an accident?" I said, "Yes, help us." So I said, "Turn your car." I said, "No, you go to Pune hospital." I said, "No, no going to Pune hospital. Turn the truck." So he turned the truck. And then the truck was in position. So truck driver and myself, we both lifted, you see, Neelu and put
You knew Neelu had dropped his body then?
No. I thought unconscious. So then I lifted Pendu and put it in the truck. You know how trucks are high up there, you see. So we lifted it. But then thinking that it's not proper because they're unconscious still. So what I did was I removed the back seat of the car.
And you were in pain this whole time?
No, I didn't feel the pain then. So then I removed the back seat and took them. And then I lifted the seat there and I went up there and climbed there and put them there with their heads there on the seat. And then I locked the car. Then I said, "All right, all the doors were locked. I took the engine this." And then I went in the truck and sat there. Immediately I thought, "But Baba's things are still inside the truck." So I again climbed out, opened the door, took all Baba things back and put them with me. And I told the man to drive us to our bungalow. And then I again went blank. I must have gone unconscious, past unconscious, which I regained consciousness later on in the hospital. So that's all. They took us there to the place where we lived, Rosewood. Baba was in Grafton bungalow. And Pendu and I were... I did regain consciousness, not in hospital, at Rosewood again. When we were to be... We had to get down now, the truck, all the three. But we all three were unconscious. Pendu, myself and Neelu. So all the Mandali were there. So they realized what had happened. So they brought us down. They lifted us and brought us down to and put us on our beds. Doctor was called. So he examined us. So gradually I gained consciousness. I overhear that Neelu has dropped his body. I said, "What has happened?" Then I heard that Pendu is seriously injured. And then I hear somebody comes and tells me that Baba has sent word that we should now break our fast, in the sense that we may drink water if there is necessity, if doctor gives any medicine to be taken. In all that pain, Baba keeps the communication, you see, that he had given us the fast. So then that was how we started. Then, of course, an ambulance was called and we were taken to the hospital, Pendu and myself. A very dingy hospital there. And Baba was looked after by Gawain and Dr. Don King. And we stayed in the hospital for that. Then it was found that I had broken my ribs. And I had head injury and all that. So that's all. Then again I was, what do you call, blind there in the hospital. Then I opened my eyes in the morning. I saw there were two constables with the guns there standing. I said, "What do you want here? What is this?" He says, "You are under arrest." I said, "I am under arrest? For what?" "This is for your having driven under the influence of liquor." "I have not even taken water." So a word had passed from the collector of the place that Mayor Baba is seriously injured because the driver was drunk. So that's how I was under. "Here are your matchboxes. Whose matchboxes?"
"You were on the shop."
No, I was in such.
Had you heard of Baba's condition when you had some?
Yes, I inquired. Nobody told me. People started coming from Pune. Merji dashed from Pune, and other Nariman from Bombay, and many things must have happened which I don't know. I was in a very secluded spot in a hospital there.
But
Pindu,
Baba's mood was almost jovial though before the blackout.
My blackout?
Yeah, at the cricket
place.
Oh
yeah, everything was perfect.
No signs of premonition or something. Like in Oklahoma when he was walking around. Nothing.
Except there at the cricket field, that he was very upset that these people had come. So
I thought the people had come in Pune.
Yeah, that's how the cricket field.
Oh, wasn't Pune.
There are two cricket fields.
Yeah.
One was not a cricket field in the regular sense.
Yeah.
It was just an ordinary game that we had in an orchard. You see.
Yeah.
Well, then it so happened that it took me nearly. My uncles from here, you see, they wanted that I should be taken to. My father came from Pune. That I should be taken, Pendu and myself to be taken to Pune, because Baba was to be taken to Pune and all that. So they sent an ambulance from Pune. So before the doctor, medical officer in charge of the hospital arrived there, I was put in the stretcher and taken there to the ambulance. So the doctor says, "Hey, what are you all doing there?" So he says, "Well, they are going to Pune." I said, "Look, this is a very serious case, and if you all carry him there, he will die immediately now. He's going too far. Shouldn't be taken there. Bring him back here." So we were again placed in our old dungeons there, you see. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever it is, we were there. So we were there for quite many days, nearly 30 days we were there in the hospital. There. So and we didn't know what was happening there. We inquired of Lord Baba, how is he? And they always would say, it's all right, you get well. So when I got there and we were returned, you see, from the hospital, Pendu and I went to Pune, Satara, and from Satara we were taken to Pune. So then, of course, naturally the case was going on after the release of the discharge from the hospital. I was
summoned. Did they go on the Pune?
But now, are you satisfied? You wanted to dash the car against a tree?
Baba said that to you.
First thing that he said was, "I'm very sorry, you have done nothing. How dare you say that you have done, you are sorry for this? Why do you take it upon yourself that you are the doer of deeds?" So I said, "Maybe Baba is comforting me and all that. It's all right." I just kept quiet and I felt for Baba's condition because it was worse than the automobile accident in the States. So I kept quiet and I said nothing. I just meekly stood there and Baba says, "Don't worry about it. It's not in your hands. It had to happen. So it has happened now. Now nothing more to worry about it." So well, he sent me back and says, "Come every day and be here." So he then asked about welfare about the others and all that. It was just as usual. You know how Baba's mood is then. I said nothing. Whether he's in hospital or in bed or in the house or in Mandli hall or on a desk, it's just the same. So that was different. Then I went to the court again and again. I was called to Satara, where the case was tried. So it went on for months together, years together. you know. So there it must have slipped. Some say that the tie rod must have behaved erratically. It was not broken.
Nothing was broken.
Nothing was broken.
What about it?
I said, but what had happened? Nothing has happened. Nothing happened.
And you haven't driven since that
night?
No,
right?
I haven't driven. No, I did drive. So take the car out from the garage and all that. I haven't driven.
Huh? And then
I couldn't hear it. You just said, you know how they mumble sometimes. Mm-hmm. I said, beg your pardon, sir. Not guilty. Act of God. The cause of seeing Baba like that.
No, you were instrumental. You were not the cause.
Well, that's what Baba said also.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I must get the exact wording. It's there. I've written down. You want to hear what he said about this accident?
Yes.
In motor car while going to Mehrabad from Mehrazad, 5th February 1959. The accident took place? 56.
March 56.
No, 2nd December 1956. Baba says this. Baba tells me while we are in the car now. I'm not driving him now anymore. So he says, Baba got his physical bone broken, so as to break the backbone of the material aspect of machine, means machine age, keeping intact its spiritual aspect.
In both the West and the, as well as the East.
Yeah.
Would you read that again?
Mm-hmm.
Sir, piece of paper there. You see here, yeah, I mean, I used to different tones of color.
Oh, yeah.
And varied them like that. But here, I don't know why at the bottom, I mean, maybe because it's so much enlarged, I mean, the color's more intense. And then as it went, sort of giving it height, and the colors are more pastel color at the top.
Yeah.
That's amazing how you give that a sense of height when everything else is in that one dimension, well, sort of, you know.
Yes. I don't know. As I said, that was all about it. You see, when I got to these complicated ones, those are the ones that I had to ask questions about. Now here, you see, when I did the rows, now Baba indicated opposite which circles they were to go. You see, because there's seven roses, all of different colors, but they're not all opposite each. You see, that's opposite that, that's opposite that, that's opposite that, there, there. Then it jumps all the way down to here. Then again, it jumps all the way down to here. But that's not my doing. That's Baba's turn where they should be. Everything is placed on this canvas
is
according to Baba's direction.
You know, I had shown this picture to someone, and they had said, they told me that they had seen this scene in sort of like a vision or astral journey.
Well, I don't know what I saw. But this is from what Baba dictated. Mm. And I years afterwards, when I was thinking about it, I was trying to remember
where did you get
how I interpreted Baba's dictation to me that this was the outcome. I maybe Baba even was surprised also. I don't know. Please, you'll just give a simple size to that treasure. There's a flamingo. Now, when Baba didn't sign it or initial it and he approved it, then I would just put a tick on it. Otherwise, Baba signed these,
so
initial these.
Wow. Sort of like he was the artist?
Of course.
Yeah.
He was. I see, he didn't approve of that size. I gave him two sizes because I didn't know which size he wanted. So it's the same thing on the enlarged. And then Baba approved this
one. Oh, and that was the exact size on the canvas?
Yes. Oh, you did interesting the exact size on the canvas then?
You see, first Baba wanted me to do color sketches. Well, Baba never minded you giving him suggestions. Not that he wanted to follow them always, but I mean, you didn't have to hesitate to say something if you felt something. So I said, well, Baba, if I do colored sketches for you, I said, then it should be a watercolor. And suppose you don't like the color. And then you tell me to do the whole drawing over again as well as changing the color. I said, whereas if you approve the drawing and I transfer it on the canvas, if you don't like the oil paint, I could almost paint over oils and that won't affect it. Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, that's where everything is. And after that, and as far as colors are concerned, the only color that Baba didn't approve of really himself makes the color was the platform in which he's sitting. He just didn't quite like the shade that I had selected, so he paid mixed on my palette.
Yeah.
It's like the picture on the opposite side, you know, he painted the eye, and we could get it attached. And somebody asked me after, did you save the brush? And they did, I too never save my brush. This is the same rose, but all in different colors. And then this is the thorns that are
at the bottom. Where did you say you painted the eye?
The full-length painting that's on the... He didn't actually paint the eye, but he gave the touch to give the expression.
That's in the museum also.
Yeah, the one with the turban, full-length one.
He painted
it. Well, I saw him one day while I was working on it in Bangalore. He was called to that. Mm-hmm. He painted, and I finished it, but I still wasn't satisfied with that expression in the eye. I was just pondering as to what to do, and I was afraid to touch it. I might make it worse. And I was just standing in front of the painting when Baba came along. Why are you standing there? So I said, well, I'm not satisfied with the expression in the eyes. Baba said, which eye? I said, well, maybe the right eye. Where are your paints? So I gave him the paints. Baba mixed the brush and did this. And he touched the eyes and didn't touch the painting anymore.
That's the one of you being on the right.
The one at Laura Maribon's fantastic, too.
Also I did on Baba's. And that, I mean, that, I hadn't studied life drawing at all. I'd only just vaguely, at one time, had gone to a Russian sculptor and was doing sort of cast things, hands, and the torso and all that. And later on, I was going into life drawing, and then I started traveling, and so then just went up down the flue. So I never actually studied figure drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And Baba said, he said, you better do a picture of me in the sadra, seated. And of all things, I had it on this plywood.
It's on plywood, not canvas.
And I said, Baba, please, I'll get some canvas and I'll try and do a nice picture if I can for you, but not this plywood. But there was a painting on the plywood which Baba didn't like. And he said, I had to obliterate it and paint on it. And there was no two ways about it.
So that painting's on a piece of plywood?
Plywood. So I painted it, and after that, Baba was so pleased. He had it framed and everything like that. And I found out later that, I mean, the main significance of the painting is that the use to which Baba put it, because sometimes he used to bring it a dozen times out.
Perform architecture.
Other times, yes, especially before the new life started. I understand that all the Monday had to say different prayers before it, and Baba himself bowed before the painting and all like that. So I said, use the Baba's spirit to him.
Yeah.
Gives up the value of that, what I put into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I put in the best I could, but years later after I saw it, it looked like sort of very primitive to me. And yet, when I look at it more closely, there's a sort of commanding something about the expression of Baba's face. It was one there, and the full length one of my first attempts at trying to do Baba. Here's a little fly in the world.
These Baba didn't say yes.
No, he didn't approve. This he approved. These he tried different things, none of the size he wanted.
What year was this your work?
I started this in 1937, I finished it in 1943. Because I wasn't working on a contest. Now, here's the one with the...
Wow.
And I marvel. I said, how did I arrive at this after...
Well, he must have said, describe this primitive scene.
No doubt.
What did he say to you about
this? I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No, it's absolute blank. Because this is what he wanted.
But he did check this somewhere?
Huh?
This is what it actually looks like in the canvas.
Yes, only it's in gray color, grays and whites. It's not...
Look at these little weird people.
Yeah, look, see, with the big head and the little bodies with the little heads, and they're like little fairies sitting here, and then these two heads floating here.
This is
man
just...
and woman that are sort of like climbing swings. Why this man is sitting like this here, and then this two-headed leopard, and then this woman here.
You don't remember
anything. And all these serpents coming out of this cauldron here, and all these crocodiles at the back, and... three-headed serpent here. And look at these with the big heads. Look at that face. I ask you. I really had a lovely time doing it. And then these blackness when I read that Tolkien's book.
Yeah.
You know, this made me think of the trolls.
But you remember when you were actually doing it.
I remember my doing it, but
you
what the directions?
Idea. I don't remember how.
No, I said
this must
just,
have taken you.
I just did this, and then when Baba said, have you got any work to show me? I said, oh, this is it. You see?
And he looked at it and he said, good.
Well, I hope so. But even on fate, he's getting older. Baba never wasted too much time on praise. He didn't say anything. He didn't kick you off. The rest was praise.
But, yeah, never mentioned anything about fairies to you.
I don't know.
Even after you asked him, Bob, what about fairies or anything?
Because if I'd say what about fairies, he would have said to me, I'll tell you tomorrow. Oh. The all Baba wanted from us was complete obedience, never the whys and what was and what.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then not our opinion about things, unless he asked for it.
Yeah.
And I mean, whenever I would start saying something, Bob would say,
you're arguing or something?
Sort up. Yeah, sort up. So when I went to the West in 1970, I thought everybody would have to bear with me because I'd have to start beginning to unsew everything.
Yeah.
Now, Baba didn't like his tail there, so he said the tail must go like this.
He drew the tail like that?
Yeah.
This is just incredible.
And then he's cut this off here. Because he said he's too much of a bonbon point.
And on none of your other paintings was it this under complete direction of Baba, was it?
No, I mean, even this one wasn't under the complete direction, only partial.
Yeah.
I mean, the inspiration, of course, is always Baba, but it's always the actual workmanship.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was, I mean, Baba said where and what and how. Just, I mean, you saw the in the beginning where I have the, let's see.
Just exact dimensions, even.
This I gave, well, Baba said it would be 5x8, and from that, then I evolved this to Skimo.
Yeah.
And then this Baba did all this Baba's hieroglyphics on the side to point out where everything goes. And how I know, you see, for instance, here, this is with the dot.
Oh, wow.
And now, if you look on the, where have I got it? This there. This.
What's your thought? Or when Baba first described this to you, I want this painting of the circle.
Mm-hmm.
You must have thought this is just an incredibly big project.
I mean, it floored me, scared me to death. I just looked at Baba, I said, you're going to do it.
He described to you, I want to. What was his first description? Do you remember something?
No, I think he outlined the fact that, I mean, I would have to do this last size canvas in the center. The idea would have to be these circles with all the 12 in each circle. He would give me how many and who and men and women and so forth. And then the side of us also we can do it.
Well,
I'll be seeing you.
Seeing you, yes. Right. Next week I'll see you.
Okay, yes. I'll be...
Yeah. And Baba's head is too.
Yeah. And then these are like animals and vegetation and birds and fish. And down these center, I'll show you all these little lines, down the center of Baba's face.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
See? No, I'll show you.
Wow, I never noticed that.
Yeah, Baba's head in each one.
And these are different types of architecture. Then, as I say, this comes here, and then those two heads and the bullock's heads here and there, here and there. So that fills all the space. Now, here are these different, I think, that's sort of at the turning point in evolution or something like that, because this is rock, and it's like stone. A metal, vegetation, insects, fish, birds, and animals.
Yeah.
But they're all four are different.
A different form of each one.
So they're, I mean, like different key points, I think, in animal evolution.
Right.
Now, on this, did Baba tell you every...
No, he said put fish, so I put fish. He left the fish to me. He left the birds to me. Where are they? The birds are here. This is vegetation, and these are animals.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, and then he said there were different kinds of architecture. And you can imagine the time I had, there was no library to refer to, there was no books to look up. I had to, from my imagination, start inventing houses.
Yeah.
Trying to remember what I'd seen when I've been traveling in Europe.
Is this an egg?
Stars.
Are you going
early? Movie stars. Yeah, I am. I'm going to get a ride early because I can sit up.
To be all over the mirror bed every now and then to meet the women and all the monthly. And men stayed with the Monday down the hill, and we stayed up there with the women. So naturally, the very first time we came back to Nazi and Baba came, because Baba used to come for a week or so and stay with us, and then again go back to Meribad, and then stop off at Rahori to see his master mad in between. So that very first visit we had to Meribad, Baba called us, and individually to ask us how we liked meeting the girls down the hill. My reaction was very nice.
Who was we?
Margaret.
My mother, Narina Machiavelli, Elizabeth Patterson,
Dina de Leon, Kitty was there, Kitty. And there were 15 of us. About
Jean Adrian?
Half and half men and women. Jean Adrian, her husband, Malcolm Schloss, and the Backetts, and Garrett Fort, and another boy, Will Sharpley, Tom Sharpley from England. And there were 15 of us.
So what changed for all of your lives?
And so when we went to Nasik, you know, Baba said he promised to stay 5 years because Baba wouldn't let us know what it was going to be like there. But of course he had everything. All, I mean, he said the luxury ashram, all the comfort that we were used to, hot and cold running water and service and everything like that. And he asked us to stay 5 years, and at the end of 5 months, Baba started sending people away. So as I say, the very first time that naturally Baba wanted to know each one's reaction, having gone on the hill and seen how they lived there in Marabad and Mera Manim and all those early ones who were with Baba. My reaction was very nice, Baba, but not for me. I couldn't see myself closed in up on a hill for the rest of my life, never going where I like, when I like, how I like. This is what I mean, it's very nice, Baba. I mean, it all blurted out. It came out. So, I mean, after that, some other thing to have said, you see, not to me. Why should I even suggest such a thing? So that when Baba, see, then later on McCann asked me if I wanted to come back with him. I mean, they're not for me, it's a family. At that time, if any place Baba wanted me to go, I would go. See, that's how I got here. That's not too.
Airplane.
She planes. She's in a little boat. There's a launch, and then there's a lovely sailboat somewhere.
These are all four different shrines to Baba?
Three. From the three, I did all of them.
And they're somewhere in India?
Yes, there were three of them. She heard all the details of all those. Now, thank you. These, I had no pictures of Bulupart, no pictures of Tonga. Between the wall and my bed. So when anybody saw that, they knew they mustn't come down there and see me working.
That's
and when it was finished, the only person that saw it was Mera, and nobody else saw it. So Baba had that 54 darshan, and all the Westerners came that time, the men.
Mm.
And Baba had me show it to them. That's the first time anybody saw it.
What did Mera say about it?
No comment that I can remember.
Because that's unusual that you worked on it in the museum, and there's where it hangs today.
Yeah, I haven't thought of that. Here, see this one here.
This place is placed a name. The same name of the village does not. Is that right for this place now? It has to be a separate name. What it should be? So he thought of the name Mehrabad. And he said it to the Mandali over there, you know, Sadji and Padri and Nada's father, 2, 3, 4 of them, that's the father, not many. And we, the five of us here, in the room, and we were outside on the veranda. Now, Baba was talking with the men on the veranda, on the road there, not on the veranda, on the road, they were talking and all that. Baba gave the name and came back to us and said, you know, I've given this place name Mehrabad. Baba, nice name this. Then Baba, I was standing near Baba, and Baba looked at me and said, I've given this name after your name. He promises that to me, and says, I've named this place after your name. I feel so happy. Some Mehrabad sound that I know. But then they say, Father, no, it is Meher. Baba's name is Meher. And Abad, you know. Really. But when we say it fast, we say Mehrabad.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But that moment, Baba made me feel happy, you know. It's so sweet of Baba.
How about Mehrazad?
So loving and so giving, Baba, all the time.
And Mehrazad also?
Mehrazad. That's a different Mehrazad. Then, I will tell you, when we were there quite alone with Baba, Baba's always living on the veranda. No, I can't tell you, no, how can I tell you? Baba's, before we came to stay with Baba in the ashram, to live with Baba, there was a room, this one room, and a big veranda, twice this size. The breadth is this much. But breadth is twice the size, very big veranda. And so Baba was living in this room. But when we came to stay, Baba vacated, I mean, he gave this room to us, and he came and stayed on the veranda outside. So all day long, all night, Baba was on the open veranda. Would you believe that? So now I think of these details, and we did not think of that at that time. We were only just happy to be with Baba. But Baba was giving of himself even that time. He had started to give up of himself such a way that women wanted comfort, they should be safe, and to see that we didn't feel the cold. So we were given this nice, comfortable, warm room, and Baba left the warm room to be out in the open. It was chilly and cold, it was winter coming, and cold winds blowing. Baba could not sleep after 2 and 3 o'clock, it was so cold. Baba covered himself with blanket, sit up in bed, and Baba didn't sleep much, and he would sit up in bed like that. So you can imagine how much his comfort also, so many months that Baba stayed. And then, you know, Baba would sit up in bed, you know, wait till the crack of dawn, look at the sky and see it's now nearing 5 o'clock. Then he would see who's snoring the loudest. In the Monday, Gustaji, Padri, Naja's father, and one more person. He's Wajibur, not Wajibur, what's his name? Bursa, and four of them. So Baba see that this Naja's father's snoring, he's snoring loud. So Baba take his saddle and aim it right. And they hit him like that. Of course, the person get up and listen. It's morning and you're snoring. Baba's snoring. Baba's talking that time. Baba's not on silence. Baba's talking. Baba said, snoring very loud. Look, it's time to get up. It's crack of dawn. The sun will be rising now. Get up and wake up the others also. And so this person, you know, Naja's father, is very happy that Baba's sandal, you know. So you take Baba's sandal. Put it near Baba's bedside again next year. So then you wake up the other one and the others, and they all would get washed and all that, and then they come for their breakfast and tea. And he would be making tea inside the room because Baba did not want his tea to be made on wood fire. Always. Is this a disturbance? So, wood fire, you know. And the wood fire had smoke, so the tea would smell smoky. Baba never liked that. So we did it inside the room, one corner. We made like a little kitchenette, you know, corner with one stove and a tea box and a tea making utensil. And we made tea inside and everything on the floor, just like that. Baba's mug and the mug in which Baba had his bath, the same mug we washed and Baba had his tea in that. And we had aluminum glasses, things that should not break. We can't afford to have crockery and all that. Just very simple. So we poured tea, strained it and thing, and then we gave the mug to Baba. Baba was sitting on the veranda talking to the mandali, and I went and gave Baba the mug of the tea, full of tea, and then we all took our glasses and we sat there, and it was, you have no idea. The aluminum metal thing got very hot. It was very hot. We couldn't put it to our lips. What to do? We were waiting, Baba's waiting, we were all waiting. So then my mother got an idea. She put whole pail of water. So we got a pail of water. And Baba was talking, and we were just near there. Baba was talking here, and we put the pail there. And we quietly, and we got Baba's mug, you know, of milk and what do you call it, tea. And there's no tea, there's no milk in the tea, weak tea. With mint, lemongrass, and dry leaves of tea. But no milk in it. And no breakfast, no bread, no butter, nothing. Just that milk tea without milk in it. Nothing else. But we were quite happy to have eaten that. We were so thirsty in the morning. So Baba's tea was given to him, the mandali's tea was given to them, and we had, and my mother said, it'll take half an hour more to get this tea cold. We bring up a pail of cold water and take Baba's mug of tea full, and we stir it in, I mean, just the mug, taking it down and stir it. And so I get Baba's mug and put it in the pail of water, not allowing the cold water to go in the tea. The mug would be half high above the water, and just stir it round. So it took quite 5 minutes for the tea to get a little bit cold, you know. Cold means that steaming hot. We feel the temperature is right hot. And you quickly go and give it to Baba. Baba would take it and sip it and see it is right temperature. Then Baba would drink it and so on. So we women would make our tea cold also that way. And every day this process went on before drinking tea. It's very funny when I think of it now. It was so nice. It's so beautiful. Baba was there in his white sundress, his hair open, talking to the mandali. He was talking there, you know. And when he came in this thing, how do you say, the mood to sing, then he would sing also. No. I have told him this. I don't know if I have told him. Baba is to get up rather early, you know, that I told him, about 5 o'clock and all that. He will be already up in bed, sitting up in bed, talking to Mani and all that. And then after they are washed and they're gone to watch, Baba would be alone on the veranda, so Baba would sing beautifully. And we would be inside now. My mother said, see, Baba's awake. We hear voices outside, so come and get up. So we all would get up, get washed and this and come and attend to the tea, you know. So we would light the stove. And it was good that day we did not burn the stove very hard, you know, because then it's a bigger flame and makes a lot of noise. This, what do you call it? Prime stove. Have you heard it?
Yeah.
It goes like that. Yeah. So, well, what happened was that day we had just started to make tea and to